Good morning, 8:07, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Dense fog, high today, 48. Man, it's like pea soup out there. Jay Marvin along with John M. and John Turk producing. And don't forget to go to am760.net. You can instant message us. And also vote on our poll. Go to the Jay Marvin page on am760.net and vote on our question of the day, which is about American Idol. All right. We talked about Lou Dobbs earlier this morning, spreading the Nancy Pelosi story, which wasn't true. Here's another story about Mr. Dobbs and CNN. We've talked about this before on the program, but a lot of us, including myself, have probably forgotten about this. And our guest is Lloyd Chapman, president of the American Small Business League. And let's let Lloyd kind of explain this. Lloyd, first of all, let's talk about what's going on or the misuse of billions of dollars in federal funds that's supposed to go to small business, and what happened to the money?
Basically, it's going to, most of it is going to Fortune 500 corporations with a concentration of major defense contractors like Lockheed and Boeing and Northrop and people like that.
Okay, so the money is being misappropriated. It's not going to what it was supposed to go for. And small business is frequently part of the middle class. And Lou Dobbs, who appears on CNN every single day, Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock our time, is always talking about how he champions the middle class and that he champions the small business person and the entrepreneur. And he goes on and on about that. But you guys found out that that's not always the case, right?
Absolutely. We work with CNN for several weeks, doing a lot of research for them and putting together a story for them, working with their producers. They sent a crew out to my office. We spent all day long. We shut our office down all day long for them to film this story. And it was supposed to run the following day. And just a few hours before it was supposed to air, they called me and told me they had decided not to run it and would run later. And, of course, it never ran.
What was their reasoning?
Well, you know, at first they told me that Lou had decided to run a story about immigration, and that it would run, I think, the next day. And I called, and it didn't run. And I called them about three or four times, and I told them I was concerned that there was some type of, you know, censorship. Someone was trying to, you know, kill the story, and they called me up and assured me that that wasn't true. And then I was on the Internet, and of course, in the story, it came out that Lockheed and Boeing were getting billions in small business contracts. And I found out, I was actually watching CNN, and I saw a commercial for, Boeing on CNN.
So yeah, Boeing runs on there quite a bit.
Yeah.
Well, I went on the Internet, and I typed in Boeing, Lockheed, CNN. And a story popped up from a blog called Daily Coos. And it's the story was called Payola Through Advertising. And it basically puts forth the notion that major corporations like Boeing and Lockheed, they really don't have any products that the public can sell, advertise on media outlets like that to gain control and have some clout with that network. And I started thinking, well, you know, that's probably what happened.
Yeah, it's called institutional advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always thought that they advertised, and there's a bunch of those that do it. There's a bunch of those defense contractors that do it. And I always thought that they did it for two reasons. One, so that you're right, they could exert control by saying, okay, if you run this, then what we'll do is we'll just attack your bottom line and we'll draw the spots. The other thing is, I thought they always did it the same reason that pharma does it, that the big pharmacology does it, because image. It's like, we're the good guys and we're protecting America,
yeah,
and we're concerned about the troops and blah, blah, blah. And they never really tell you that, yeah, except we've made, you know, billions and billions of dollars off all kinds of conflicts that the United States gets into, and the CEOs make, you know, huge money and everything else. That's what I always thought it was. I always thought it was like an image thing.
You know, it could be. It could be. And it could be a combination of both. You know, but the story really raises, you know, a serious question about, for me, about the influence that these people have over the media. And, of course, you know, they are making a lot of money off the war. And I guess they do want to try to, you know, pass off a positive image. But this issue that we're talking about, the diversion of federal small business contracts to large corporations, it's about $60 to $100 billion a year. And Mr. Dobbs' book, Attack on the Middle Class, you know, talks about how large corporations have taken control of the government to the detriment of the middle class. And this is the biggest story, I think, you know, out there right now in terms of dollar volume-wise. I was listening to your program earlier, and the state of Colorado is going to not pursue the death penalty to try to save $2 million a year.
Right.
Well, this issue is $200 million a day in federal small business contracts that are being diverted to large corporations. So if Lou Dobbs wants to talk about attack on the middle class, you know, he should be all over this story.
Did you ever talk to him personally?
Did
you ever? So you never spoke to him personally about this?
Never
you ever
did. I just talked to his producers and his crew.
Sent him an email?
Nope. No, I had my attorney contact him. I thought about suing him because I spent a lot of time, you know, doing research for this story, and literally shut down my office for the day for it. And, you know, we couldn't get any response out of him, so I just kind of dropped that. But, you know, hopefully he'll hear your show. And
no, he doesn't. Let me tell you, if you watch that show, he does something that I have never – well, I've seen it before, but I don't know how he does this. He does two things. One, he runs a poll at the end of the show in which the answer is almost unanimously guaranteed because it reinforces what he's tried to tell you over the span of 50 minutes or something.
He rigs the question.
Yeah, that's number one. And then number two, when he does his email segment, now maybe he has done this and I've never seen it, but the times I've seen him, he never reads a negative email.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they're all, oh, Lou, oh, Lou, oh, Lou. And if you send him something, you virtually will never get a response. They don't respond, and you're stuck. I mean, a good example of this is the whole Nancy Pelosi story, which I was talking about earlier this morning between 6 and 7, in that he's been on the air now for 6 days running, repeating this falsehood that started with the Washington Times, which are the same people that started the Barack Obama falsehood about the Madrasa school. He's repeating this thing about Nancy Pelosi and this jet plane, and he has his facts totally and completely wrong, and all he has to do is do two things. One, read what the speaker has said about this subject, or two, put her on and ask her. But he doesn't do either.
Yeah.
Now, you could send him an email and say, look, this is what she said. You know, here are the statements. Why don't you get your facts right? You'll never get a response.
Well, Mr. Dobbs, I'm told, is very conservative, you know, politically. And so maybe he's not interested in getting the truth out about Nancy Pelosi or about, you know, fraud and abuse in federal small business contracting. Maybe he doesn't want to offend, you know, President Bush.
Is it that, or is it that he and CNN have a tacit agreement that what they basically don't want to do is they don't want to step on Boeing's toes?
You know, I think it could be a combination of the two, but let's just say this. They're certainly, it was very expensive for them to spend, you know, 3-4 weeks researching the story and then coming out and filming it. And to pull it, you know, just before it went on the air, something happened. You know, something happened that they you know, decided not to run it. And if we're trying to find a reason, you know, the story wasn't flattering to the Bush administration. It basically shows that President Bush has lied to the American people in Congress, you know, every year he's been in office. Every year he comes out and talks about what a great job the Bush administration does with small businesses, but what he doesn't tell you is in that list of small businesses is, you know, Microsoft and, you know, IBM and Lockheed and Boeing and Northrop, all these big defense contractors. So, you know, maybe it was a double whammy where he was trying to help out President Bush and Lockheed and Boeing.
8:16, 60 minutes after 8 here on AM 760, a Progressive Talk. Lloyd Chapman on the line, president of the American Small Business League. That's ASBL.com. I was about to ask you about that. When he gives these speeches and when he talks about the economy and he throws in about small business, what's your reaction when you see that?
I'm infuriated. I can't watch it. I have to turn off the TV. I was on the internet a year ago and doing some research, and I found out that Ronald Reagan actually tried to close the Small Business Administration in 1984 and 1995 and end all federal programs for small businesses, women, minorities. And I was surprised, actually. I grew up in a Republican household, And I've come to understand the Republican Party is anti-small business as you can be. Bush has cut the budget for the Small Business Administration, the only agency there to help America's 23 million small businesses. And I think 56% of all Americans work for small business. So here's President Bush talking about, you know, his commitment to small businesses and saying that small businesses are the heart and soul of our economy. But he's cut the SBA budget every year. He's cutting the funding for all federal programs to help small businesses, woman-owned firms, minority-owned firms, and veteran-owned firms. In fact, in the face of all these stories about this abuse coming out, he appointed a gentleman named Stephen Preston a few months ago to take over the SBA. And Mr. Preston proposed a policy that will allow the government to continue to report awards to Fortune 500 corporations as small business contracts through the year 2012. And that came out about 4 months ago. So George Bush is no friend of small business, and any of your listeners that might think that I'm just a liberal anti-Bush guy, there's been 13 federal investigations that back this up. Two Bush appointees, the head of the Office of Advocacy at the SBA, who I'm told is a Bush family friend, has come out and acknowledged this problem. And the SBA Inspector General has come out. In fact, the Small Business Administration's Inspector General said this is one of the biggest problems facing the nation today. So it's not just me or anti-Bush people. There's been 13 federal investigations that have found this to be true.
Well, it must be frustrating to you that this is such a major problem, and it's just not getting played.
Well, the other thing is, if you talk about raising the minimum wage, if you talk about unionizing or making it easier for unions, making it fair. Easier is not the right word, but yeah, Making it fair. And we have a big union bill controversy going on here in the state of Colorado. The first thing the Republicans will tell you, the first thing they'll say is, you're going to hurt small business.
Yeah.
But yet in reality, what you're saying is, that's just basically rhetoric. Because if they know this is going on and they know this is wrong, why don't they speak up?
You know, I talked to a very high-level government official several months ago that told me privately, he said the government's whole program for small businesses are smoke and mirrors, and I believe it. The government talks about, and the Bush administration talks about, small business, but anybody in Washington, any congressional staffer or any lobbyist or any attorney in Washington knows that the Republican Party primarily concerns themselves with issues that affect big business and Fortune 500 corporations to the detriment of small business. And in fact, something that I've again come to understand is that most of the groups out there that a normal American would think are there to help small business actually are Republican groups that lobby largely for Fortune 500 corporations. So groups like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the National Federation of Independent Business and a group called Women Impacting Public Policy, if you go to their websites, you won't see any mention of this story. There's been, I think, 400 or 500 stories in the press in the last 3 years. It's been on CBS and ABC, and it's the biggest issue affecting small business today. But if you go to the websites of these groups, you won't see it mentioned. Something that concerns me is if you go to the websites actually of the House and Senate Small Business Committee and or any congressional office, you won't see this issue mentioned at all. So I'm just very concerned and surprised that Congress hasn't adopted some legislation to address this issue. It first came out almost 4 years ago now. So it's just amazing that it's gone on this long.
Well, one thing I think you ought to do is I think you ought to take this story to Keith Olbermann at MSNBC.
I've thought about that. You know, I sit there and watch him sometimes, and this is right up his alley, and I think he would love it. In fact, it's good that you said that, because I'll try to get through to his office and send him the information and let them take a look at it.
And the other thing is, why not bombard all these congressmen and congresswomen, particularly ones that are not Republicans? Why not bombard them with the same information?
Well, we're trying to do that, actually. We're trying to get information to everyone on the congressional committees that could address this, the Small Business Committee in the House and the Small Business Committee in the Senate. And I've personally walked the halls of Congress for days on end talking to people, and they're aware of it. I mean, it's been in the Washington Post, the Washington Times. I think in 2004, I got 5 stories in Wall Street Journal in a year. So it's not like they don't know about it. It's out there, and there's it was on CBS about 90 days ago, so they know about it. But my concern is that in Washington, these defense contractors that are getting these contracts, they've got the biggest lobbyist in the world working for them, and they're spending millions of dollars. I saw a story, two stories. One that says the Bush administration is spending $1.6 billion every 24 months on PR fees. So the Bush administration has hired the two, three, four biggest public relations firms in the country, and they're spending around $50 to $60 million a month.
Taxpayer dollars,
exactly,
of course.
Trying to spin this story. And then I saw another story that says that lobbyists in Washington are spending about $2 billion a year to lobby, the 535 members of Congress. So these big companies have a very loud voice in Washington. They've got a lot of power. And I think a lot of members of Congress, both, Democrat, Republican, are afraid to cross these guys because they're so powerful.
Yeah. And if you tear the president's budget apart, too, you can see in there that there is defense spending on items that we don't need to be spending because it's based on Cold War philosophy. Like the ship or the submarine or whatever that's in there, and I can't think of the name of it now, and the F-22, in which we're not involved in those kind of struggles anymore, but yet we're still funding and proposing funding to build those things because it's a payoff to exactly who you're talking about. Lloyd, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you being on the show. And
Thanks, Jay.
I urge anybody who's listening to the show, email Lou Dobbs at CNN and ask him why the story's not running. And Lloyd, you ought to try to take this to Keith Olbermann.
You know what? I'll do that today.
You really should call him or somehow get in touch with his producer or whatever. Please come back on and let us know what happens.
I will.
Thank you, Lloyd.
Thank you.
Okay. There's Lloyd Chapman, president of the American Small Business League. That's at ASBL.com. I love small business people. I think they're the backbone of the country. And every small business person that I ever worked for, the majority of them, 99.99% of them, were always good to me. And there are small business people who go out there every single day and they bust their rear to try to make something happen. And if we can't stand up for small business people, then there's something wrong with us. There really is. 8:24, 24 minutes after 8. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about the New York Times, the Associated Press, and others who have gone after John Edwards over a couple of bloggers that he had. But meanwhile, they don't have anything to say about the exact same behavior that's going on from supporters of John McCain and others. And we'll talk about that coming up, too, with a familiar name here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Don't forget to go to am760.net and go to the J. Marvin page and vote on our poll question today. And, of course, you can get podcasts of the show, too. Here's Gina with traffic. After 8 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. High today, 48. Dense fog out there. Man, it's still foggy as heck out there. There was something last hour I wanted to tell you, which I didn't get a chance to squeeze in, and I want to squeeze it in now about the Bush administration. As you know, I don't make it a habit of getting on here every single day and griping about this administration. But just when you think you're shocked and you think you've seen it all with these folks, then they turn around and they pull some other stunt. And check this one out as the latest stunt. There is a little teeny part of the Patriot Act that was inserted in there that allows the President of the United States to circumvent Congress, to circumvent the Senate on appointing federal prosecutors. So, in other words, basically where the Senate used to do that, and what they used to do is they used to go and they would, the party that was in power would go to the senator in that particular district or that area that was in the party in power, and they would say, you recommend who the prosecutor is going to be, and then the Senate would okay it. That's how Patrick Fitzgerald ended up being the prosecutor in Illinois, the federal prosecutor, because the then senator, Fitzpatrick, picked him out, and the Senate said, okay, fine, that's who you want, that's okay. But this whole thing in the Patriot Act allows the White House to circumvent that. So what the White House has done is they have moved across the country and have fired, relieved seven federal prosecutors of their jobs for no reason other than they may not be politically aligned with the White House. And one of the federal prosecutors that they fired was based in Little Rock, and he lost his job yesterday. And guess who's going to take his job?
Who?
A lawyer who is good friends with Karl Rove.
Oh, I'm amazed. Well, these weasels stop at nothing. They did the same
thing. I mean, every time you think you've seen it all.
Yeah, they top themselves.
There's something else.
Didn't they do that in San Diego? They fired the prosecutor in the Duke Cunningham case.
Exactly.
And all these federal prosecutors, you have to remind people, were people that the Bush administration appointed in the first place. They're getting rid of their own people now.
Well, no, because they want people who are politically connected.
Right.
Instead of people who are not politically connected, which is what you should have. You should have a federal prosecutor who makes a decision and doesn't make it based on politics.
Is this administration going to go down as the most corrupt in American history?
I can't answer that, but all I know is that it's just not right. But here's the thing. The Democrats are now starting to look into this.
Yeah.
All right, it's 8:33, 33 minutes past the hour. Paul Waldman coming up with Media Matters. We'll talk about this whole Edwards blogger controversy in which the right wing is trying to smear John Edwards. And we'll get into that coming up here. 8:33, 33 minutes past the hour. Traffic now with Gina. Good morning. It's 8:37, 37 minutes after 8. High today, 48. Dense fog out there. And I mean, it is dense. AM 760, Progressive Talk. And I don't know if Al's in today or not. I think he may be. Anyway, this is a story that appeared in the New York Times yesterday and has gained a momentum, but it started in right-wing circles, and I got so angry about this yesterday, and there's one person I know to turn to as far as looking at the media, one of the smartest people I know, and so we're going to ask him to do double duty this week. Here's a senior fellow at Media Matters for America, Paul Waldman. Paul, good morning. Thank you for coming back.
No problem, Jay. I'm glad here to help you through your anger.
Yeah, and I really am. And I'll tell you something. I left a blistering post, which I'm sure he will never see, on Terry Moran's blog. But let's start from the beginning on this. There was a charge that was made about John Edwards, about two bloggers that John Edwards had hired, that they were engaging in anti-Catholic rhetoric, and the guy doing it was this guy's a big reactionary, Catholic League President Bill Donahue. So start from there.
Well, this is a great example of how the right is so often successful in leading the media around by the nose. You have somebody like Bill Donahue, who is the head of something called the Catholic League, who, frankly, even a lot of prominent Catholics think is an extremist and don't want to be associated with. He's someone who, in the past, has made lots and lots of bigoted anti-gay statements and anti-Muslim statements. And anytime somebody criticizes the Catholic Church, even if it's over a substantive issue like their position on abortion, Bill Donahue gets on TV and screams that they're anti-Catholic bigots. So John Edwards hired a couple of bloggers who had written a lot in the past few years on a lot of different political subjects to work on his campaign. And Donahue and Michelle Malkin, who a lot of your listeners may probably know, she is herself a blogger and a writer who has done lots of really just incendiary, inflammatory hate speech, frankly. They started to dig through the every post that these two women had written to try to find something that they could use to create some controversy. And, you know, as many bloggers have, these two bloggers have in the past sometimes used dirty words in their blogs, horror of horrors, and at least one of them has criticized the Catholic Church, specifically over over the issue of abortion rights. So immediately, they tried to get the media to make this into a story and demand that Edwards fire these two. And Donahue went on a bunch of different television shows were quite happy to bring Donahue on without telling their viewers who he was and what his own history is, to denounce them as anti-Catholic bigots, as he does to just about anybody who looks askance at the Pope or the Catholic Church. So this is an entirely manufactured controversy where, once again, we see that the news media are allowing these extremist right-wingers to tell them what they should cover and how they should create something like this out of whole cloth. And we're all waiting to see how the Edwards campaign is going to react. They still have not come out and said whether they're going to fire them or whether they're going to stand up to this.
I thought they had fired them.
Well, there was a report yesterday from Salon saying that they had basically unverified report that they were going to be fired. But the Edwards campaign very quickly said that that's not true and we haven't made any decisions yet. So we don't have yet any word from the Edwards campaign. I think it'll probably come today, I'm guessing.
No. It was kind of interesting that one of the blogs, one gal said, the Catholic Church is not about to let something like compassion for girls get in the way of using the state as an instrument to force women to bear more tithing Catholics. And the other one said, a question what religious conservatives don't understand about, quote, keeping your noses out of our britches, our beds, and our families, unquote. And these don't sound like particularly.
No, they're not that incendiary.
No.
Not compared to what the right cranks out.
Yeah, there certainly not doesn't constitute anti-Catholic bigotry by any stretch of the imagination. But nonetheless, it just shows that, you know, a couple of extremist right-wingers can, if they want to, get the news media to follow their agenda. We see stories in the New York Times and the AP. We're now working on a story. There's a story that may be end up in Time magazine. The coming edition of Time magazine that is full of inaccuracies and distortions about this. This really is something that I think that we have to be wary of because, you know, I draw the parallel to the story about Barack Obama having gone to a madrasa, that phony lie that we've talked about on your show before. We're seeing now a couple of these early incidents in the presidential campaign that really are a harbinger of things to come. In that case, a right-wing website with zero credibility was able to spread this false story that supposedly Barack Obama had gone to a madrasa in Indonesia when he was a child. It was a lie, but they got certainly Fox News to pick up on it. In this case, we're seeing a couple of right-wing hacks, frankly, being able to get the news media to manufacture a phony controversy over some things that some strong language that a couple of bloggers who work for John Edwards had used over the past few years. And I think it's going to be a test of the news media over the coming days, how they handle these stories and whether or not they're going to allow this to happen again and again. Because I can assure you, as we go forward in the presidential campaign, the right wing will be trying to do this. They will be bringing up phony stories about Hillary Clinton, about Barack Obama, about John Edwards. They will be lying about them. They will be trying to manufacture controversy where no controversy is warranted. This is only the first salvo, so I think it's a test for the news media for how they react. So far, in this case with Edwards, they're failing.
Yeah, but they're doing. You know, they're doing it. I mean, look at Terry Moran, who in his blog, does John Edwards condone hate speech? First of all, he does that, but he ignores the hate speech that's going on the right.
Yeah.
Second of all, he plugs his brother, who's a right-wing wing nut, and this guy's with ABC. This guy's supposed to be a quote-unquote a journalist. I mean, he's spreading this around as much as anybody is.
Right, and Terry Moran, in his post on his blog, really a couple times he says, well, people tell me that there's a lot of anger out there. He obviously doesn't really know much about the blogosphere. But he compares one of these bloggers who works for Edwards to people like Ann Coulter, which is and Rush Limbaugh, which is just appalling. I mean, nothing that this woman Amanda Marcotte has written on her blog, even though she has criticized the Catholic Church's policy on abortion, and has a couple of times, you know, every once in a while, used a dirty word. Nothing comes within a million miles of people like Limbaugh. Limbaugh, who is you know, frankly, is a racist. You're exactly right. And Ann Coulter, who regularly advocates the murder of people she disagrees with,
like the Supreme Court justice.
And the difference is that we're talking about somebody who is doing some work for the John Edwards campaign, where Moran's own network brings on Rush Limbaugh to comment on the news of the day, quotes him in news stories. And just this morning, Ann Coulter was on the Today Show yet again. So these people who are actual purveyors of hate speech are given these kinds of forums in the news media, and we're supposed to believe that somebody who has criticized the Catholic Church ought to be fired from John Edwards' campaign because you know, what they said was too incendiary.
Doesn't all right? How about McCain? Didn't somebody who blogs for McCain make a crack about Chelsea Clinton being ugly?
Yes, and this is one of the things that we've pointed out is, you know, there hasn't been much attention to some of the people who work for Republican candidates. This is the person named Patrick Hines who is running the blog for John McCain's campaign, and he was hired by McCain and didn't inform people that he was working for McCain and being paid by him, while he was at the same time were on his blog out there disparaging Mitt Romney and saying wonderful things about McCain.
Oh,
so he
nice.
Was deceiving his own readers. And, you know, then he has done things like said that Chelsea Clinton was ugly, which is frankly is something that John McCain has in the past made jokes about. And you know, at the same time, McCain's campaign manager, a guy named Terry Nelson, is one of the most notorious dirty tricksters in Washington, somebody who was an unindicted co-conspirator in the Tom DeLay money laundering case, someone who was involved in some other in the New Hampshire phone jamming case potentially that resulted in some jail time for people. And lastly, Terry Nelson was responsible for that ad in the Tennessee Senate race, the Harold Ford ad, about Harold Call Me, the white woman that everybody acknowledged was race baiting. That's the guy who was running John McCain's campaign.
Yeah, McCain's
precious little coverage of that.
McCain's hired some of the people that were attacking him for Bush back in 2000, right?
Exactly. He has a number of them. And, you know, the John McCain, who's supposed to be this figure of unimpeachable integrity, those are questions that are not being raised very widely. Whereas, you know, within the course of 24 hours, the right wing is able to manufacture this conspiracy, this false controversy about John Edwards that is on every cable network, is in all the newspapers, and is, you know, creates this din that now the Edwards campaign is supposed to fire these people essentially for nothing.
Well, they're also doing it about Nancy Pelosi and the jet plane, and Lou Dobbs has gotten sucked into that one. And you're right. I mean, it's disgusting. I mean, it is absolutely downright disgusting. And the post I left on Moran's blog was, well, gee, what's wrong, Terry? Are you scared to look into, you know, basically what I said, paraphrasing, are you scared to look into your own house? How about some of the hate speech that comes out of the ABC O&Os? Like WABC in New York, WLS in Chicago, KSFO in San Francisco, KABC in Los Angeles. How come you don't investigate that if you're so interested in hate speech? But you're right. He just ignores that.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And some of those, you know, especially you mentioned KSFO in San Francisco, where Melanie Morgan is headquartered. They have some of the most unbelievably appalling hate speech coming out over their airwaves every single day. So, you know, as I said, this is really a test for the news media. So far, in this case, they failed. They allowed these right-wing operatives to lead them around by the nose and create a controversy where one shouldn't have been in the first place. And this is only the first salvo in what is going to be a long campaign to attack the Democratic candidates and the people who work for them. And I think media matters are going to try to do is show exactly why this was such a failure on the news media's part and encourage them to do a little bit better next time.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Paul, because where I really got ticked off, and I've been in the news media, I've been a radio journalist now for 36 years, and where I got really disgusted with my own compatriots was that John Kerry, the botched joke that shouldn't have even risen to the level of a news story. And all of a sudden, it was everywhere.
Yeah, that's another great example. You know, no honest person thought that John Kerry was trying to insult the men and women who serve in the military.
Right.
And when Republicans came out and said that, they were lying. I mean, let's just be straightforward about that. They were lying.
Yeah, absolutely.
They didn't believe that. Nobody believed that. But yet, because of the fact that they come out and say, "Oh well, he's obviously insulting our military," then the then all the press says, "Well, we're going to do 100,000 stories on this." They have to exercise some judgment. You know, being objective doesn't mean that you give up your right to judge to exercise judgment
right.
and to say when someone is obviously not telling the truth. But in practice, that's the way it often shakes out.
It's disgusting. All right, very quickly, just let's say, end on a humorous note. For people who didn't hear this or didn't get it, but I said it to you yesterday. Our buddy Chris lets off the F word on MSNBC yesterday and on the simulcast of Imus. And what is he doing, Paul? Once again, he is pimping Rudy Giuliani, right?
Oh, Lord.
Well, there's nobody that Chris Matthews loves more than Rudy Giuliani. I mean, he's a big fan of John McCain's. There's no doubt about that. But whenever the subject of Giuliani comes up, he just gets all wobbly in the knees. And he even said on that same Imus thing that maybe what the country wants, talking about Giuliani and how he's so tough, what the country wants is a little bit of fascism. And that was pretty creepy.
He said that?
To hear that coming out of Chris Matthews.
Good Lord.
Didn't he also brag that Giuliani would have the guts to drop a bomb on Mecca?
Yeah, well, I think that's what Imus is now advocating. So it's pretty – there's a lot of strange things happen when journalists go on Imus's radio show. It's pretty consistent. You know, you have these reporters who are supposed to be kind of serious people, and somehow they get in the room with Don Imus and they start saying this most bizarre thing that you can imagine.
Well, I'm sure his bosses had something to say to him about letting the F word off on their network. Hey, Paul, thank you once again. Thanks for doing double duty this week and coming on short notice. Really appreciate it. We urge everybody to go to MediaMatters.org, get informed and get involved. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate
no problem.
It. Really do. All right. We'll talk to you.
Good guy.
One of the smartest guys I know, Paul Waldman. I love him. 8:51. It's 51 minutes past the hour. Traffic now with Gina. Good morning. It's 8:56. 56 minutes past the hour. Dense fog out there and a high of 48. AM 760 Progressive Talk. Nice to have you along. Don't forget to go to am760.net. Vote on our poll question. And also, you can get podcasts of the show. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk to somebody who has been to Iraq. He served in Iraq in 2004. And he's going to give us a firsthand account of the war. He's Army Specialist Daryl Anderson. And he is gathering at Fort Lewis with many others in support of First Lieutenant Watada, who got a mistrial yesterday. And this is the soldier who is a conscientious objector. And we're going to talk to him about that topic and also just about the war in general. And then, of course, we'll go to open phones and we'll take your calls. I've got some instant messages here, but I don't have too much time to read them. But I appreciate, I'll try to get these in next hour, but I appreciate all the instant messages that you send, and I try to read them all. I can't answer them all, but I definitely try to read them all. All right, coming up next, we're gonna get a firsthand account of what goes on in Iraq and a soldier's take on the Aaron Watada case, and then we'll go to open phones and take your calls. Thanks for being part of this morning here on AM 760 Progressive Talk.